Netflix aims to sexualize 11-year-old girls in new show Cuties. And a psychologist wants us to be mature about pedophilia, which really means more accepting. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, this one's hard. This is just a really rough episode to talk about because I had this come across my news feed and my jaw dropped. And that's hard to do. At this point in my walk with Christ, at this point when it comes to the things that, you know, we've seen in the culture today, it is really hard for my jaw to drop over something that's being put out by the world, because at some point you're just like, hey, it's normal. But I got to be honest with you, something that really bothers me is when Christians grow apathetic to the disgust. The fact is that we are not recognizing evil for how evil it is and not pointing it out for what it is. And we are commanded in Scripture to do so. That's one of the things that really bothers me. I saw a comment earlier this week. We did an episode on Jeffrey Epstein Island, and we were talking about basically what we were talking about. We were using it to warn parents about not only divorce, which God hates, and you really see why God hates divorce when you see these pedophiles luring young girls away from broken homes, which is where they typically go to grab them. And it's one of those things, we need to point these things out because we need to warn people, especially those who have had broken homes, when a husband has gone off and cheated on their wife and there's been a separation there, or a wife or vice versa, and they've left, and now the child is in an environment that God did not design. He designed for children to be brought up by their mother and father together as a unit. And there's a reason why God hates divorce. It is supposed to be a picture of our relationship to Him, the betrothal process that we have, and the ultimate consummation of our marriage to the being the bride of Christ, to Jesus, that is going to take place. And it's heartbreaking when those things break up, because you can just say very clearly that God absolutely, positively hates it. So we use these things to point people back to Scripture, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, not only that marriage should be held in honor amongst all believers, it doesn't stop there, guys. It also warns that fornicators and adulterers God will judge. There's always a reason why we should hold marriage in high honor. When God says, don't do this because this action will occur, we need to pay attention to those things. Don't practice these devious acts because these things will occur. When we see very clearly in Scripture that the sins of the father and the sins of the mother even, it has an effect on the children. And you look at just look at history, look at the data. The fact is that when parents are addicted to pornography, when parents have an alcohol addiction, and I don't even like to say addiction, when they're drunkards, typically, guess what happens? So are the children. And so we point these things out to point to people that the truth of God's word is, guys, this is true. And when we expose wickedness for what it is, we point out how wicked it is and how good our Savior is, and that ultimately the victory is only in Christ. Our euangelion, our banner, our glad tidings, that guess what? He is the victor. We have Christ the victor. And that is the only one who will bring victory in sin, no matter what area it is. It's Jesus Christ, our victor. So I want to point that out, because we did have a comment. Like I said, someone said, I just don't see, you know, Jesus doing this. And I'm like, wow, Jesus did call out sin a lot. And John the Baptist even called out sin of a non-believer, sexual sin specifically. So yes, we do call it out very, very clearly. We call these things out, and we do so at not a request, but a command by God to do so. And so when I see little girls being exploited, I'm going to speak with much more fervor than I do when I'm discussing how much I like the Dallas Cowboys. And one of the disgusting things that I see is the hypocrites online. The absolute hypocrites are like, why are you guys bringing this stuff up? We don't want to talk about it. And you go down their page and they talk about every other thing in life. You would have no idea they followed Jesus, but you probably know what their favorite type of wine is. And it's, come on, guys. If there is something that we should be screaming from the rooftops is, let's stop exploiting children and having them being raped and having them being trafficked and having them being used as pieces of meat. Dude, do you have a child? Do you have a niece, a nephew, someone you care about? And you watch children being exploited and their parents allowing it and their parents being excited that they're a part of some show or they're a part of some TikTok where they're dancing scantily clad like a grown-up half hooker, and you're like, oh, this is so sweet and so funny. It's not funny. It's disgusting. They're sitting there in booty shorts and bras dancing around on TikTok like any old person at a strip club, any old lady at a strip club or something. It's pathetic. It's disgusting. How are you letting this happen? I want to shake people. Come on. What are you doing? And guess what Netflix is doing? They have a new show, a French-based show, coming out. And in fact, I'll read what they tweeted out after a little bit of uproar. Praise God, there was some uproar. But there's a show called Cuties that's TV mature, by the way. And here is the plot. Coming September 9th, Amy, 11, that's 11 years old. Not in dog years, 11 years old. Becomes fascinated with a twerking crew. Hoping to join them, she starts to explore femininity, defying her family's traditions. An 11-year-old, do you know what twerking is? Twerking, if I could describe it as anything other than a baboon in heat, twerking looks like a sexual act. That's what it looks like. It looks like a young girl performing a sexual, or whatever age girl they're doing it. But in this show, they actually were forced to take down the image they were using to sell the show because it was far too provocative. And I showed Tony the picture that they were using, and it is, I can't describe it in any format that would give it the justice of the wickedness that it really does have describing this show. It is grotesque. They have little 11-year-old girls in sexual positions in booty shorts with half of their rear end showing. It's hard to look at. It's disgusting. And this was literally on Netflix. Hey, check out this new show exploiting this little girl who wants to leave her family's tradition and explore femininity. There is nothing about femininity that needs you at 11 years old to dance around like a stripper. There is absolutely no exploring that you need to do outside of saying that is wicked. Don't do that. There is no exploring you need to do down that trail. It's a twerking crew. You're literally at 11 years old acting as though you're committing a sexual act. That is what is going on when you join a twerking crew. It's heartbreaking. This is what's being sold on Netflix. People are going to watch this. And here's what Netflix said about their inappropriate artwork, which they agree to. On Twitter, today as I'm recording this, we're deeply sorry for the inappropriate artwork that we used for Cuties. It was not okay, nor was it representative of, and then he's going to talk about whoever tweeted this. I'm sorry, I don't he or she. And yes, there's either he or she. There's not many genders. There's only two. But this is what they say. after saying that was inappropriate, the artwork for this disgusting show was inappropriate, they said, of this French film, which won an award at Sundance. We've now updated the picture and the description. Yes, our disgusting, pedophilic, disgusting video movie we're going to show on Netflix. We, you know, we took down this image because it was just too much for you guys. But we can't wait to for you to see all the 11-year-olds twerking about. And I got to ask you, if you're a parent that has your child going to dance and they're learning how to twerk or on a stripper pole and dressing around in basically something less than a bathing suit, I got to really ask you, what are you doing? What are you training them for? I remember there was a meme that went out, and I like my memeology. I like looking at some memes. And one of them had a few pictures, and it was this girl. It was like a girl and her mom, and it was all drawing, like cartoon. And it was like four images, and one of the pictures, it's like the little girl is dancing in front of TV to a scantily clad artist, you know, maybe Shakira or Beyonce or something. And they're dancing around, shaking their butt everywhere. And then the mom is going out shopping with that girl, and she is buying her clothes where you can see all of her, every bit of the girl. And then there's an image where the girl's pregnant, and the mom going, "How did this happen?" It's like, what do you mean, how did it happen? You know how it happened. You've allowed your daughter to dress and act this way. Of course, that's what's going to take place. So you're having them dance around in front of large audiences, shaking their butt around all over the place, and you're wondering how this happens. They've been exploiting themselves for how long, and men have been looking at them as objects. How long until, guess what? They view themselves as just a sexual object. And the fact that Netflix would take down the image, knowing how inappropriate it was, but know that they're going to show the image in video. Can you imagine? And in the same breath, well, it won an award. Well, just fantastic. It won an award at Sundance. Congratulations, Sundance. You're a bunch of perverts. Congrats. You get the award for you're a pervert. What has happened that this is so normalized, that this is just okay? I'll tell you what has happened, whether it's Marxism, that you want to talk about that, whether it's in our school systems, that this is just so normalized, or in academia. In fact, I was listening to, and I'm going to chalk talk through this, the psychologist who came out and said we need to be more mature about pedophilia. I think the only way to be mature about pedophilia is to clearly call it out for the disgusting thing that it is. But here's the case, and we're going to chalk talk through her discussion here, because I think there's some things we need to take captive to the obedience of Christ and recognize what's going on. This video clip is during a TED Talk by Madeleine van der Bruggen, and she is from Holland. And we're going to look through this clip, and I'm going to try to tell Tony when to say, let's press pause so we can bring this thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And I want you to pay attention, because you're going to see why I believe there is the foundational problem of understanding sexual sin and where it comes from. And because that problem is so foundational, and because where we are as a society, no matter what, around the world, what has happened is, because of the framework now that we have in the secularized society that we are involved with in these days, this is the ultimate logical conclusion of where it is going. And just random TED Talks about pedophilia will eventually become all the more popular. And Tony, let's play the clip.
Most of these people know that they have feelings that they should repress. So most of these people don't act out on it. They don't offend. Which is great, isn't it? But the problem is, these people can't talk about their feelings because they know that they will be hated for it.
Now, to think, and this has been something that's been really bad in our society, this idea that if we talk about our problems, that's what's going to fix them. The problem is that when we don't talk, when we talk about the problems and we don't call them for what they are, we never get anywhere. And I'm going to get into this as we go a little deeper on this, as Tony keeps playing clips and I chalk talk it. This is exactly what takes place in the drug rehabilitation crowds as well, the AAs, NAs, and CAs, and all these different groups that people get involved with. Is it's one thing to sit up there and call yourself an alcoholic and say, I shouldn't do that because it has this, that, and effect. It's another thing to say that the God of the universe who created me, who literally tells me exactly what the laws are and actually wrote them on my heart and actually sent the Holy Spirit out to convict the whole world of this wicked sin, and there's a reason why you have shame for it, that is the reason I shouldn't do it, because I'm offending the Creator. Tony, let's play some more.
I truly do believe that every person is longing for love at some point in their life.
What is love? What is your definition of love? Simply a semantic jargon, this nonsense, throwing this out there, and that love is all of a sudden sexual attraction. Because you're sexually attracted and you lust after someone, that's love. That is a lie from the pit. And remember, as you're listening to this, when she's describing love here specifically, she is describing it as what? Love between an adult and a child. Everyone deserves that? Let's keep going.
What if this love that you really wish for will forever be impossible? That must be a really lonely situation to be in. It's like telling me, we know that you love your boyfriend and we don't minimize this love. However, you cannot act out on it ever.
Okay, so as you're listening to this, by the way, in the very beginning, she's talking about some act out and some don't. And now she's saying, oh, well, it's just like I love my boyfriend, and if I can't act out on that love, wouldn't that be terrible? Once again, these are unnatural affections. Unnatural affections. Not only has God already declared, decreed, made it clear this is wrong, but also, guess what? God has made it clear because you're made in His image and you know it's wrong, which is why, as she's talking about these high percentages, could be 0.5%, could be 3%, and she does point to the 90 million people who were caught on a back channel being caught using child pornography. And she's saying not being able to express themselves and not being able to practice the pedophilia. Remember, we have to understand these statements in the context they are stated in. And now she is claiming, and she'll make it very clear, once again, that this is simply how they're made. Remember that. Remember that they have no choice in the matter. And remember how Satan, or how Adam, what Adam did, his first blaming of sin. We're going to review that a little bit. Let's play some more.
Of that, you won't be able to talk about it with anyone. So unfortunately, sometimes it does go wrong. Sometimes people do start offending. And I'm not justifying this. On the contrary, I work for police. I'm just saying that
it's
a logical thing to happen. So what do we do with this knowledge? Well, I think there will be many of you telling me now, you know what, let's just ban all these people from society. Let's just lock them all up and let's just leave them somewhere far away from our children.
Yes.
From an emotional point of view, I can kind of understand what you're saying. I became an auntie last year for the first time. My little nephew, he just turned one. Absolutely crazy about the little boy. And we just got back from a family holiday. And we really enjoyed the sun and the beach. The weather was lovely. And I simply cannot imagine the possibility that my little nephew wouldn't be able to walk around in his swimming wear because some adult would be sexually attracted to him.
Now, I'm playing that because she caveats her telling you to accept pedophiles. She caveats it by telling this emotional story. This is literally just rhetoric. Because when you're caveating saying how disgusting it is that this would take place, how terrible it is, then guess what? That's all you're doing. You're sending it as a caveat so that you could say, well, I addressed that. But really, you didn't. Because what you're saying is that it's wrong. Because deep down, you've been made in the image of God and you know it's wrong. You know he's written his law on your heart and you know it's wrong. And you're suppressing that truth in unrighteousness. That's the facts. And so, yes, it's disgusting to think about your little nephew who you love being sexually exploited by a pervert. And it's a perversion because it goes against our very nature, the natural inclinations that God has given us. It goes against them. It is a unnatural affection. And it goes against everything that God has said and God has made us in his image that we wouldn't be perverted. Keep going.
Yes, from an emotional point of view, I can kind of understand that you would want to eliminate these people from society. However, it doesn't make sense. And that's because we're talking about biology. We're talking about a sexual orientation, something that we simply cannot change.
There it is. It's something that we simply cannot change. It's just another sexual orientation. Pedophilia is just another sexual orientation. Do you hear this? All those crazy lunatic Christians, all those weirdos that voted yes on Prop 8 in California, all those guys that were trying to say, once you get gay marriage, next thing you know, the pedophiles are coming and that's going to be normalized. Blah, 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 blah. Those guys were so crazy. Does it sound so crazy now? This is a TED Talk with over 500,000 views on it. Does it sound so crazy now that this is the slope? Because the fact is as soon as you go against the word of God, as soon as you pervert the word of God, as soon as you go against your natural inclinations, as soon as you go against what scripture has clearly taught us, you go against your own conscience, what God gives you that bears witness to you. It gives you knowledge to know that these things are wrong. It gives you knowledge. And I'm not just talking about pedophilia. The same thing goes with fornication. I remember as a non-believer, you still felt guilty about it. You know how many people I've shared the gospel with on the streets that admit, yeah, I feel guilty when I sleep around. I know it's wrong deep down. You do, because you're treating people as objects. God has a certain design, a perfect design, for men and women to come together, men and women to go forth, be cleaved together one with another, because that is exactly the natural function that God has created supernaturally in us. And when it comes to marriage, it is a picture of our relationship to him. Every single thing, everything cries out for the glory of God. All of creation screams to us for the glory of God and preaches the gospel to us. I really believe that. God has used everything in creation. We've been going over for 2 years almost now. Almost every Tuesday, Joe always pushes it back. But nonetheless, we've been going over Typology Tuesday. It's been taken us almost 2 years to go through Genesis 1 and all the typologies of salvation found in Genesis 1 that Paul specifically mentions in 2 Corinthians, and he points to the light shining out of the darkness, and we see it, and we see it in the creative order. We see it in the trees. We see it everywhere, because God is writing his love story to us, not simply just in scripture, but in natural theology as well, in crying out to us. The wisdom cries from the street tops. Over and over again, this is how God calls us and calls us and calls us, and suppressing the truth. When someone has to explain to you, actually, this sexual deviancy that you know deep down is completely wrong, and I'm going to explain to you how it's actually totally fine, there's a reason they have to explain it to you that way, is because it's against the natural function. So they have to explain to you, actually, it's normalized. That's why there's only 0.5 or 3%. Guys, whatever sin that you may struggle with, I'm telling you this right now. It's something I've talked with homosexuals on the streets and in love explained to them very clearly. You're going against the natural function, but here is the thing. The Bible is so clear about this. We all have been tainted by sin. Men, I would guess that almost every heterosexual male has struggled with lust. Actually, I would just guess that outside of Jesus, every male has struggled at some point with lust. Every male has struggled at some point with looking at a woman with lust. And guess what? You fight that battle, right? As a man, you say, I'm going to be a believer in Jesus Christ. I am, guess what? I'm going to pick up my cross and carry it. I'm going to see through this world with kingdom eyes. I'm going to make sure that what I am looking at, and if I do stumble, I get right back up on the horse, man. I'm not just going to sit down and let the devil beat me down. When you stumble, you get right back up and you have brothers that pray for you, brothers and sisters in Christ that are praying for you on your behalf. You don't just wallow in the sin like a pig. You get out of it. You say, wait, I'm not a sin. I've been washed. I need to get out of this. This is disgusting. And I don't care what sin it is. The victory is found in Christ. You need to go back to Him. And switching the blame has happened since the fall. Remember, Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 3, quite clearly, and this is something I've dealt with a lot at drug rehabs, because what's the thing that you're told, right? I'm an addict. I was just born this way. There's nothing I can do. As soon as I tasted my first drink of liquor, as soon as I shot up my first thing of heroin, as soon as I took my first bowl, and whatever it is, oh, you know, I'm just an addict. It's just who I am. But that's not how God designed us. That's not how God wanted it. And we're not to push the blame off, because guess who you're actually blaming? Who did Eve blame, right? Now, God came to her second, right? He went to the man first. But who did Eve blame? Eve blamed Satan, right? It was that serpent. He tricked me, right? And that's what scripture says. The woman was quite deceived, right? The man wasn't deceived. And this is what happened. Adam ate from the tree. And when God comes and asks him a question, who does he put the blame on? He not only blames the woman, that's right, it was the woman. But don't forget, who gave him the woman? It was the woman you gave me. So when it came to the first sin of the world, the first thing that Adam does when he talks to God about it, he blames God. All these sins, pedophilia, homosexuality, bisexuality, dressing like a woman as a man, dressing like a man as a woman, all of them, every single one of them blame God. It's just how God made me. In fact, when I go and share the gospel on the streets, guess what guys tell me? I ask them if they look at porn. Yeah, of course I do. And the ones that say they're believers, that's just how God made me. Oh, it was the woman God gave you, so it's God's fault? This is not right. You can't push the blame off on God. You make those cognitive decisions, and better yet, God has written His law in your heart. He's written it on your heart. I believe in prevenient grace. And one of the ways that God goes after us is through writing that law on our heart, giving us a conscience, giving us logic and reasoning. We're made in the image of the Logos. We're made in the image of God. And He describes Himself as the Logos, logic. We know when these things are wrong. And God also sends His Holy Spirit out to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And here's the thing, if you're a believer and you get involved watching these things, if you're a believer that involves porn, if you're a believer going as bad as searing your conscience to a place where you're watching pedophilic porn or something, get out of it right now. Don't wait. Do not wait 1 second. Run for the hills. Run and flee like Joseph. Flee sexual immorality. Get away from it and come into the arms of Jesus. Guys, porn will never satisfy you. Sexual promiscuity will never satisfy you. You've traded the broken cistern, and trade that now for streams of living water. He is waiting. He is calling. He has done it through His word. He's done it through His apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He's done it through your conscience that bears witness against you. Most of all, He's done it through His Son, who was lifted up to draw all men unto Himself. Turn to Him now and find victory in Jesus Christ.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 511 News.